It's time for Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, the greatest automotive podcast in the known world with Ron Foreman, Brady Wright, and Steve Johann. Let's find out what's going on this week.
I cannot believe that it is August 11th. Where in the world did summer go? We all sat here with masks on and went,
yeah.
2020, August 11th. Brady Wright, Ron Foreman, your host, Steve Johann, the producer. There are billions, gazillions, and four listeners out there someplace. This is our 149th. We should do something next week for the 150th. I don't know what. We should come up with something clever to do. Maybe an actual show would be good. You are listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust, and we're glad you're there. We're still on iTunes, thank goodness. I checked last week. Still on iHeart, Spotify, Podomatic, Stitcher, TuneIn. I have not yet tried TuneIn.
Right.
I have to go on TuneIn. I think it's TuneIn.com. I don't know. I got to go find out.
They're all apps you can put on your
phone. I know,
phone
but I,
stuff,
I haven't. But I mean, I try to have as many of them as I can just to see
what
we sound like.
You
know, they changed it on us on one of them. But Podbay, I haven't tried that one yet either. Castbox. But anyway, thank you guys for listening and for following our Facebook page, sure, because that's where most everything gets done. The latest shows are all up there, including last week's show, which was a lot of fun. Right now, we're in our first segment. This is called Back to the Blacktop, where Steve grabs automotive news and information from the trash can outside his house. And what have you brought today?
Well, we got some good news over everything else going on in this world. If you're a motorcycle lover, Sturgis Black Hills Rally is in full swing
right now.
It goes from August 8th through the 14th.
I have several friends there as we speak.
Oh, good for them. And
a quarter of a million people are there.
I am glad to hear that. If I had a motorcycle, I might have made it out there. But anyway, there is a great exhibition. So if anybody's on the road listening to this or even at the show, check out Michael Lichter's Heavy Metal exhibition that will be at the Buffalo Chip. Now, there's an exhibition hall that's on the grounds, but you don't have to go into the campground. You just go to the ask them wherever, and they'll tell you how to get to it. It's free to the public. And I've had Michael on many times on my former motorcycle show. Great, great guy, great photographer.
And an amazing artist. I mean, just amazing.
Great
stuff.
Photographer. Yeah. I mean, he starts out with Easy Riders and has been from there.
The photographer with him is an art. I mean, it really is.
Oh, he's on the back of bikes, hanging off of him, look like he's going to die while he's to get these photos. So, and then it's full of 30 bikes out there this year. And so 40 years of Sturgis photographs are going to be there.
Wow.
So that is very cool. And then some more good news. We will, I talked to you about this a week or two ago, but the Port of Subs, which is a
regional chain,
subway chain, is sponsoring a cruise. And for details, go to www.facebook.com/Port of Subs WA. That's for Washington, /.
Is it Port of or O?
Port of.
It's OV?
Yes.
Or OF, I mean?
Yep. Port of Subs.
Oh, okay. I think their sign says Port O Subs.
Okay.
That's why I'm asking.
Well, I just got it right here. I printed it right off. Port
of
Subs. WA.
Well, this is something different.
/.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And so anyway, they've got it, and you go on there, you'll find out where to go. It's basically cruise from one sub shop to the next to
the next.
There's going to be prices and everything. Like a poker run.
But it's a sub run.
Yep.
Except,
And I have to say, I had a little bit to do with this because the guy was going to contact me and, hey, we want to do the show, but now we're getting the word that we can't. I says, why don't you do? And sure enough, so I am really happy.
Great suggestion, Steve.
Yep. Well, on the electric front comes this. A couple of weeks ago, maybe about a month ago, I was talking about Nikola Motors and all that they're doing and how they're kind of refinancing themselves. Well, they did get a very big deal, or for them, with a garbage company. If you know who Republic Services is, they're like
they're a local garbage contractor.
Yeah, a local garbage company, but they're all over the place.
Well,
In 2023, they will have begun producing 2,500 electric waste and recycling collection trucks for Republic Services.
Wow.
And so
electric garbage trucks.
Yeah. So in other words, the diesel, the body, the rest of it'll be, you know, all run by itself.
It'll just be a quiet garbage.
That's what I like.
I'm quiet.
The diesel runs the generator that makes it electric, right? It won't be quiet.
No, these are going to be electric.
Right, but the diesel runs the generator, right?
No, it's fully electric.
Oh, okay.
Fully
so
electric.
They're charging them up then. They don't
so the only noise it'll make will be them tossing the cans in back.
Yeah.
So not really much quieter, but still, that's
well,
cool.
Well, you'll probably hear the hydraulics because that's what you hear is the lifting
yeah,
of the thing.
For sure.
But anyways, I think it's a great idea. It'll
sure,
be 2,500, and if it goes well, they'll order up another 2,500.
Oh, 2,500
trucks.
I'm sorry.
Wow,
yep. Thought for a minute you said 2,500 bucks, and I'm like, I'll take two.
Well, and their range is 150 miles, and they're expected to carry up to industry-leading 720 kilowatts of energy storage, limited to 1,000 horsepower, because you need a lot of horsepower. But because it's electric, it's torque, so I think they'll be
mostly
just fine.
Torque, yeah.
I would think, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. That's an interesting idea.
So the battle for independent wages.
Are they going to be autonomous?
God, don't go there. Don't
come
go
on.
There.
Come on. You know that's your favorite topic.
Transformers.
Autonomous garbage
okay,
trucks.
So you want to get into the autonomous. We're
no,
going to be
I don't
there. Like we're going to be there in a couple shots.
Okay,
come,
right,
give me
right,
a couple
fine.
More
okay.
couple more things. So the battle for independence wages
I've opened
on.
The lid on the autonomous.
Especially back. In the world of contractor versus employees. In the yeah. fight of critical to their future business model, Uber and Lyft have lost another battle in their legal fight as a California judge ruled in favor of the new law classifying drivers as company employees rather than independent contractors, eligible for a variety of benefits. Now, I'll tell you, my son is an Uber driver,
yeah.
and he does not want to be an employee. He loves being a contractor. He is an employee with his pizza delivery guys and stuff,
right.
but he likes to have that independence. Turn it on, turn it off, do whatever he wants. So I think there's going to be a lot of feedback, you know, pushback, but we'll see. And then more from the world of Q comes this. Hyundai has announced it will be launching a new sub-brand called, get this, L-O-N-I-Q, Lonic. Just like the four brand Cadillac cars being out there that end in a Q. I see a pattern here.
Yes, all right.
The, oh, it's actually Ionic. Not
Ionic.
Ionic. Oh, like an Ion. So Ionic brand will be out in 2024, and it'll be interesting to see how this goes, but Q has become the big next thing in branding in automotive world. I don't know why. It just maybe they've been watching a lot of Star Trek. But,
well, it goes through phases. For a while, it's animal names, and then it's space names, and then it's
just
Q
letters
names.
And
yeah.
everything.
Yeah.
Well, Q is the off-brand of the 007.
That's right.
There you go.
All the
now
gadgets
see,
and the gizmos.
I like
007.
I like it.
007 and Q from Star Trek, the guy that's
oh, yeah.
Alien.
Yep.
Now, news that won't make you snooze. When you think about auto-driven cars, you may think of the ability to possibly catch a nap while letting your car do the driving. Well, not so fast.
No.
In comes the latest news from AAA, similar, who after plenty of testing has the following warning.
Don't do it.
AAA study echoes an earlier study conducted in 2018 with the latest report indicating that semi-autonomous systems encounter one issue after another on an average of every 8 miles. One of the biggest problems was keeping a vehicle in the lane, but in a significant number of cases, the partially automated vehicles wound up hitting a simulated broken-down vehicle. So it is repeatedly found that the active driving assistants do not perform consistently, especially in real-world scenarios. Now, they tested the 2019 BMW X7 SUV, the Cadillac
right,
CT6,
right.
the Ford Edge SUV, Copilot 360, the Kia Telluride SUV, and the Subaru Outback SUV with an EyeSight. So they've been running these things, and as we've been saying, there is going to be problems.
Well, everything, I mean, every new system like that has some sort of issues, but when we drove the CT6, you know, the Cadillac had they were one of the first ones out with that whole thing, and I said at the time, it's amazing, you know, it's fully amazing to drive the thing, but you really can't take your eyes off the road. It has a monitor that if your eyes leave the road for more than about 15 seconds, it buzzes and wakes you up. It like says, knock it off. You have to watch. So the whole point of, so am I cruising around with my arms folded, but still looking at the road? What's the value of that? Just drive the car.
It's a gimmick.
Well, yeah, but I mean, so where are they going? Because the first of anything is always like a little test.
Yep.
I don't know. Hey, thanks for tuning in. We have a really cool importer of right-hand drive imports, oddly enough. That's coming up next on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We are in the Pacific Northwest, and why wouldn't we be with a beautiful day like today? Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Hey, it's Hillary Nowak from Ink and Iron in Oakville, Ontario, Canada, and you're listening to Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. We can't help you with the horsepower, but we can definitely help you with the chrome and rust.
I'm more resourceful than I thought.
My suit can still make an impression.
My video games are still game changers.
And my lamp can bring others a bright future.
Because when I donate my stuff to Goodwill,
it helps fund job placement and training for people right in my community.
Now my stuff gets a second chance.
And will give someone in my community
a second chance too.
Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. That's goodwill.org. This message brought to you by Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
In 95, I helped tow your trailer. And in 09, it was sparks from me, your chains, dragging behind your truck that accidentally started a wildfire.
Spark a change, not a wildfire. Visit SmokeyBear.com, brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
My mind's out of gear, and my heart's in overdrive. I've everything to fear. I ain't never been more alive.
Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust is back with the first half of the Windshield View with Dylan Kane. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Owner of Import Guys in Ferndale.
So tell us about Dean, or Dylan, sorry. You probably never get called Dean Kane,
I've done
do
it
you?
Now.
Dean Kane.
Yeah, God, yeah. God. You're super guy.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. So tell us about the Import Guys. What's what is your kind of stock and trade up there?
So what we do is import cars from Japan.
Yeah.
We can either do it on request. We have the Japanese dealer auctions, so we can go on there, bid on a particular vehicle, or if they wanted to choose from our stock and something landed here, we have several to choose from, and we run through all of our cars, make sure they're in good running condition before selling them.
Okay. So now I know that Steve is going to ask you some stuff about this, and I'm sure Ron is too, but I have kind of an initial question that I want to get from you. Obviously, yeah. Japanese import cars are huge, and there are no shortage of them in the United States as it is. You guys are an importer, but you do something that's a little bit different from if I just went down to the Toyota dealership or the Honda shop and said, give me a Pilot. What is it that makes what you do different from all the rest of those guys?
It's a lot of it has to do with the brokering cars, and just having the access to thousands of cars in Japan on our website just for direct purchase. You could really get specific with what you're after, down to color, trim package, certain modifications, and sort through the auctions and find that exact car. And if you wanted something done to it, we have a facility over in Japan, so we can do anything you want done to the car there.
So you're talking new cars or used cars or both?
Used cars. So they're all over 25 years old to be eligible to import into the United States legally.
Got it.
Now, do they have like a mileage restriction? Is that why they have so many?
It's more so the older your car, kind of the more expensive it is to drive it on the roads in Japan.
Right.
They're really good at pushing the new cars, since you can get some of the newer small vans for only, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 brand new.
Right. I know the import taxes on new cars from Japan are why they cost as much as they do. Now, I was in Japan a number of years ago, quite a number of years ago. But I remember at the time that they had junkyards. Well, they didn't really call them junkyards, but there were lots full of, like, you know, older cars. But these were like 5-6-year-old cars. And
totally
here, you know, they'd still be on the road, but they wouldn't do it. And I asked at the time, you know, our hosts, so what's up with this? And they said, well, every year you own a car there, they charge you more money to keep it on the road. And there comes a point where it just makes more sense to buy a new one. Is that still the case? That's the deal, right?
Oh, it's totally, man. So, you know, the collector cars are different. You don't really see like the Skylines and the Supras and the scrapyards, but or, you know, whatever you want to call them. But you can go to these yards and you'll see stacks of used cars actually in pretty good condition. Some of them will only have 50, 60,000 miles. And they'll be like, you know, for example, a 2004 Subaru Forester or something like that. And you'll just see them stacked on each top of each other.
Wow.
No big dents, good running condition. Like for the U.S., it would be considered low mileage and a pretty good car, but they're just kind of throwing these out if they're not collectible.
So that would what do they do with all the excess? Do they ship it off to China or somewhere else for steel, or how does that work?
A lot of the parts just get sent off to other countries. It's a super big market for exporting used parts from Japan and used vehicles, just because of the way the country kind of treats them.
I know you talked a lot about cars. Do you have trucks as well? Import trucks?
We have a few, but the problem with trucks is they tax them 25% importing them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, you know, if you spend $10,000 on your truck, it's $2,500 in just import tax, and then on top of that, you're going to have to pay your state sales tax and licensing. So we don't sell too many trucks. Every now and then, we'll sell one of those, like a little truck, and we got a couple Japanese tow trucks just because they're super cool. But that's the reason we don't do too many.
Sounds trucks. Like you got to really want one of those to make it cost effective.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Well, I wanted to ask you. When I set up the interview, we chat a little bit on the phone, and I wanted to kind of ask you, how did you get into doing this? Because, I mean, it's not like just wake up some morning and say, I want to import right side driver cars. How did that come about?
So, you know, it's kind of a funny question. I get asked it a lot. Growing up, I don't know where it came from, but around the age of 10, like, all I could think about was having a real right-hand drive Nissan 180SX, and I just, like, got stuck in this thought of having this car for years until I was old enough to be able to buy cars and everything like that. So eventually, I found out Canada had some right-hand drive cars up there. Their import laws were a little different. So I bought some cars up there, and I was buying some cars all across Canada. And one of my friends I was helping broker the cars down, he kind of couldn't keep up with how many cars I kept trying to get from him. So he introduced me to somebody in Japan who had access to more cars. And then it all kind of went from there.
Well, I find that's really unique. And for those who don't know, you grew up in Linden, Washington, correct?
I grew up in Blaine.
Or Blaine, excuse me. Don't confuse the two.
small little border town, not much going on.
Yep, they were rivals of Ferndale, because I grew up in Ferndale, so.
That's right, they were.
Well, I'd kind of like to walk back through, if you don't mind. You were talking about, you know, getting into the importing thing. What did it take,
yeah,
structurally, to just get you set up to do? Because you said your friend was doing it, and you decided you would. So what are there permits? Are there licenses? I mean, what's the structure to become an importer like that?
It depends. There's different levels of importing cars you can take on. What I am, I just have a continuous customs bond for importing cars. But really, anyone can import a car if they want to. You know, they can do it on their own. They can do a little bit of research, get a single entry bond, hire a broker, fill out the documents, and they can do it. Just to do it as a dealer, you need to just have that continuous customs bond. And that's probably like the more standard, I guess, trim, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Above that, there's things like you can be a registered importer, which allows you to bring cars into compliance if they're eligible to be brought into compliance. But
okay.
I'm not an RI. I don't want to deal with it.
So there's a continuous customs, and then there's a registered, and I assume that there's a couple more. And I'm sure that there's money involved in getting initially those kinds of things set up. But a bond, I understand, because that's basically kind of your insurance against, you know, the potential of loss of some sort. I want to talk about this some more. We're getting down to the end of this segment here. It goes pretty fast when you're when you're doing this. But
wow, yeah, that was super fast.
Yeah, well, we're talking to Dylan Kane. Dylan is the owner of The Import Guys in Ferndale, Washington. He imports cars from Japan, and this is actually a pretty interesting little deal. I've never heard of this, and when we come back, I want to talk about right-hand drive cars, because that's also something that you do, right?
Yep.
All right. The Windshield View will be right back. We got more from The Import Guys on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. You're into cars, you love a good time, and you'd rather build it than buy it. You might just love the Rat Bastards. The Rat Bastards Car Club is a family-oriented, non-profit organization. We believe in 1969 and older, in the rough is enough, real steel and iron, old-school, traditional hot rods and rat rods. We get together, have fun, help each other, and love to drive them. Your build is our build, because that's the way car clubs are supposed to be. The Rat Bastards are a new class of old school, and our signature event is the Infestation every July. Find us at a cruise in all over the Puget Sound and on the Rat Bastards Car Club page on Facebook.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Sensory sensitivity, repetitious behavior, lack of eye contact. You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Hi, I'm Danica Patrick. Watching my nieces grow, play, and learn is amazing, but not every child gets to be carefree. 1 in 6 kids in the U.S. are hungry. This breaks my heart, and it's something that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and gives it to families in need. To help, visit feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America.
I adopted Bento in 2010 from a shelter. A lot of people know him as Keyboard Cat.
That's just one adoption story that started at a shelter. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a pet near you. Brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend, you were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie, I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the app.
Yes, we are back in Vehicle City with a second half of the Windshield View on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And we're hearing about how cool right-hand drive imports are from Dylan Kane. And Dylan, we just want to plug your website. It's www.theimportguys.com, and you're located in Ferndale, Washington. But, of course, you do business with people all over the United States. And so, Brady, I think you wanted to ask a couple questions.
Well, yeah. I mean, we were talking a little bit about the different kind of bonds, but really where I wanted to go with that was, you know, through your website and the other, you know, kind of outreach that you do, people buy these cars from you from all over the country, right? So do you do most of your business through your website, I assume.
Yeah, most of the sales in the business, it's all done online, either through the website or Facebook.
Right. You don't have a brick and mortar shop someplace.
Well, he does.
Yeah.
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 So
I have one.
So what kind of give me a kind of an idea? What kind of a guy? What kind of a person? Let's go there. Wants to buy a right-hand drive, 25-year-old car from Japan. How does all that kind of play out?
You know, there's a few different kinds of people that buy the cars. A lot of them, I think the reason how this got so big and so popular, it's a lot of the sports cars. There's the cars with higher trim packages we didn't have there. There's just flat-out sports cars that are just great that we never got. So you got those guys. And then some of the other customers, they like the vans. The vans are different. There's some really nice four-wheel drive turbo diesel vans.
Nice.
Those are kind of people that like camping and adventure. So it's kind of a split between those two. And then there's the people that just want to drive something weird, something different that no one's ever seen before. Have the only one in town.
Speaking of that,
all a mix of them.
Yeah, when I was in Japan, there are an awful lot of cars over there that we couldn't import because wheelbase was too small or too short, or they're less power than we might have here on the road. Some of those things, like the mini little vans that they have, some of those things we actually cannot get. Is that correct?
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of the smaller, they call them K cars. There's, in the car form, the van form, the truck form, the little cars, 660cc.
Right.
That we never got.
Yeah, and now, but you can't import those either, right?
Yeah, we can only bring them in 25 years old. Some of the K trucks, they're eligible for importation as off-road use for farm vehicles.
Okay, all right.
It's kind of a gray area, but there's a lot in the U.S.
What I noticed is, and we were talking off air about this, but my son found out about you and told me because he was at a car show and somebody had a pretty souped-up Supra. And because the import Japanese cars, you can get much more high-performance cars going your route because there's a lot less restrictions over there for about performance. So talk about that aspect of people buying cars.
A pretty big one's the Nissan Skyline, and then on top of that, the Skyline GTR, which is a vehicle we never got here, and it's a straight six, it's twin turbo, it's all-wheel drive, it's an amazing machine, especially the newer generations, R33 and R34, they just drive like they're on rails. It's absolutely nuts how smooth those things drive, and then there's the Supras as well. I'm a little biased towards the Nissans, but
a lot of those cars, like you say, we never got them here. They didn't import them for one reason or another. But now, as long as they're, am I getting this right? As long as they're over 25 years old, you can bring them in.
Yeah, for the most part, that's correct. There's a couple newer ones you can bring in, but it's not many, and it's under show and display. It has mileage restrictions and has to be super specific. You can't just get any old car and say, oh, show and display, right? But
for
the most part, 25.
So I can't get a right hand drive Datsun 240Z over here.
Yeah, you would be able to.
I'm just hoping that spot.
Well, speaking of high performance, do you find that there's anybody in the drift crowd or the racing crowd that tends to run import cars that have said, hey,
oh, tons,
I can get these high performance. So that is a group of people that purchase these things.
Oh, it's a big thing, man. A lot of the cars, they're drift cars. You can take them to the track, go sideways, and kind of have fun in the things.
Should hook you up with Tim Papadakis.
I think three days ago, and he already took it to the track.
Nice.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah, we've got a couple guys that we've interviewed that do drift racing, so we'll have to contact them and put them in touch with you. But so the other thing is, you don't just import them here to Ferndale, Washington. Talk to you about how a person goes about ordering a car from you and where you will ship them and have them brought in to them.
So if they go on our site, they can sign up for free under the auction system, look at all the cars for sale in the auction then from dealers over in Japan, and then they can choose a specific car. Then from there, we can ship it to any port in the U.S., clear customs in any port in the U.S., and we've done every port in the country now, so it is nationwide. As well with that, we do have the capability to buy a car in Japan and ship it to any port in the world, but we can only clear customs throughout the U.S. ports.
Got it. So, and they're all going to be boat shipped, right? I mean, until they get here.
Yeah. They go. It's called Ro-Ro. It's like a giant parking garage ferry boat.
Got it. So if you bring it in, let's say your buyer is in Nashville, you're going to bring it in through, you know, Miami or one of those ports in Florida, probably. And then how's it get there? Is it go by trucks, go by rail?
Yeah. So what we would do is ship it to the nearest port to their home city, and then from there, what we'll do is send a truck transporter. He'll go there with the documentation we provide, pick up the car, and then he'll drop it off right at the customer's house.
Got it. So good half of your business sounds like it's logistics.
Yeah, it really is. A lot of it's just logistics work.
Well, and you've had people show up, though, where you've brought your car into Ferndale, and then people have flown out and then driven them home, correct?
Oh, yeah, they'll fly in, take them across the country on a fun drive.
That'd be a nice little shakedown cruise.
That's a good test drive.
Well, and you told me that you're saying here to us that a lot of these cars are been gone through really, really well. So it's not like me buying a unseen hot rod that somebody's fixed up in their car, and you go and you buy in, let's say, Oklahoma, you get about 100 miles an hour down or 100 miles down the road, and all of a sudden you feel like, geez, the radiator's overheating, there's these other issues, because you don't know the quality. Do you have some kind of a guarantee or warranty or just a certification that lets people know that these are going to be drivable?
So they don't, no warranty comes with, but what we do is we'll drive them around, you know, anywhere from 3 days to a week, work out all of the kinks, and if something comes up, you know, we'll fix it. Or if the customer is having some issue, even if it's a couple weeks later or something, we'll usually buy them the part, send them a part. You know, we like to make friends, not enemies.
Sure. Good customers are repeat customers, so there's nothing wrong with that. That's just good business.
We have tons of guys who have bought 5, 6, 7, 8 and more cars from us.
That's kind of cool. Now, I don't want specific numbers, but I'm looking for kind of a range. Can you give me kind of a ballpark high and low for what one of these things might cost? I know we can find this on your website.
I guess it really depends. Let's say like R32 GTR on the lower end these days, you're probably looking at, you know, 28 up to 40 or 45. They just keep going up in value, and the Supras, the automatic non-turbos, are normally, you know, 20, 25. The twin turbo 6-speed, which is, that's the one to get, you know, unless you're trying to swap the car or just cruise one. Those normally are kind of 45 and up, roughly. Wow. And those things,
25 years old,
moon in price.
But you know that, I mean, you're really kind of buying a classic, and I'm comparing that to the new Bronco that they just came out with, that's you know, all tricked out and everything like that, and the electric one too, 44. That you're in the same ballpark for a really cool, restored for all practical purposes car. That's not bad at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What fun. So here's just an off-the-wall question. What's the oddest or most difficult-to-get car you ever got for somebody?
You know, the coolest car we ever got, which is a car that's normally pretty—it's pretty hard to get one. We bought a car from a tuning shop in Japan called Top Secret, and there's a guy. His name's Smoky Nagata. They call him like the international street racing criminal of the world, right?
Okay.
We ended up buying a car from him for a customer.
I like this guy already.
Pretty funny, yeah. If you look up Smoky Nagata, you'll see these videos of him doing 200 mile an hour runs, and he's shipping his car all across the world and just racing. So that's probably the coolest, one of the harder cars to get.
Nice.
Vehicles we've done.
So is that considered? Again, it's under 25 years, or it's over 25 years of age. And it can go under, because I know there's a very, I don't call them underground, but there is a custom culture over there, in both for motorcycle and for cars in Japan. And they're kind of like you said, they're kind of under the radar, but they exist, do they not?
Oh, yeah. No, they totally exist.
Because these guys like mechanical things just like we do. I mean,
I'm just looking up Smoky Nagata.
He's exactly.
There's a picture of I just looked up Smoky Nagata. He's the man behind the legendary twin turbo V12 Toyota Supra build. I love the opening paragraph says, "Not many people know who Smoky Nagata is, but mention the word twin turbo V12 Supra and things start to make a little more sense." And there's a picture in here of the car, and it is scary looking. I'm gonna show it to Ron, who will now pass out.
Wow,
it's just amazing.
There's nothing room for anything else.
Yeah, you couldn't put a bread knife in there under the hood. Besides what all that plumbing is, it's just fascinating.
Yeah.
Check this out, Steve.
Oh man,
we gotta put this up on the website.
Like a jet engine.
Yeah,
it's a beast. So do you? I also know that there's a big move over there for some of the guys to bring in, let's say, 50s. Cars from America. Do you do any work with people to help bring cars in from America to Japan?
Not yet, but I'm actually working on a second business. I haven't told many people. It's called Worldwide Auto Import and Export, and what I'm trying to get into is shipping American cars to Japan. They like them too.
I'm sure. Correct me if I'm wrong, but that sounds like that's going to be something for people with money, because, you know, a lot of the roads are smaller and the taxes are just ridiculous. So would you have to go to the same, like, 25 years old or older situation there, or how's that one going to work?
Importing to Japan, I'm still learning a bit about. I know they have a lot less restrictions than the U.S. as far as shipping cars over goes. I mean, as far as I know, they'll take almost anything. You know, to get it, they're not for registration and Shakin inspection. You have to get it roadworthy.
Sure.
But it'd be quite expensive to keep an old American V8 on the road over there.
I would think, yeah. And I, having driven around some of the suburbs, there's several roads. I don't think you could take a Lincoln out there.
There's no way. There's no way.
So the lead sleds that I've seen on some of the different hot rod shops over there, those are literally just for show, and they might get out and do a little bit of tooling around, but it's not going to be a daily driver by any imagination.
Yeah, I don't think the Hirohata Merc is going to go to Japan.
No.
I don't think so. Well, listen, let's bounce this one more time. The website is theimportguys, just like it sounds, .com, right?
Yep, that's
right. And all of that stuff is there, including a list of stuff that's available, and I'm assuming some of the criteria for how you can get the car. Dylan Kane is our guest, and if you had like one thing you could say really quickly about why somebody should do this, what would you say?
They're increasing in value. They're just highly collectible cars.
That is too good.
And they're fun. They're super fun.
And that's the magic three-letter word right there.
It's not fun, it's not worth doing.
There you go.
Yeah, that's great. Well, thanks, Dylan, for coming on. We really appreciate the time having you on here. And, folks, you're listening to the greatest automotive information show in the known world, and a great hot rod story you can share with your friends is up next on Horsepower Chrome, and Rust.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14, 41,
31, I mean 13.
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. I realized he forgot his homework.
I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org.
Hey guys, this is Carl with Garrett's Rod Shop on Horsepower, Chrome, and Rust. And these guys are great, so listen up.
Cartoons Magazine is back. You know those crazy car comics from the past. They've returned in the all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of brand new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine full of one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available at your local comic book store, newsstand, and directly through Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com. That's cartoonsmag.com, where you can subscribe to a whole year's worth of fun. Cartoons Magazine, there's nothing else like it.
Okay, Forrest Animal. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiver.
It's time for Car Confidential. Back with another story from Fenders, Fins, and Friends. What's up this week,
well,
Brady?
This week, Mr. Ron, it is Confessions of a Car Guy. Lance has a story called, and I picked this one specifically because I envisioned Lance wearing these.
Oh, no.
Ballet slippers and magic carpets. I don't know why I want to see
or
Lance in
ballet slippers.
On his ears when he was sitting on the carpet.
Maybe.
It could be that. I don't know. With Lance, that's a possibility. You never really know.
Those were the hippie years.
and Lance was there.
Yes, he was.
So were some of us.
Well, it's true. So this one is another one of his memories of high school. So while recently attending my high school reunion, I was struck by the large number of antique, classic, custom, and hot rod cars currently owned by my former classmates. Why do so many of us care so strongly about these obsolete dinosaurs? Well, they don't have airbags, they don't have anti-lock brakes or high fuel efficiency systems or any of the other advances of modern-day cars. Many have been modified with new drivetrains and safety systems, of course, but most of them are stock or maybe mild custom cars that mirror the cars we owned or dreamed of owning back in the 60s. In high school, I knew the advantages that my lowered 54 Oldsmobile brought me, while the esteem of classmates, at least the car crowd, the possibility of being appealing to a few more of the opposite sex, a theory that has been believed but not proven, the ability to artistically express myself through a small amount of affordable customizing, and of course the perception that my masculinity was being declared by the sound of the exhaust system and the high speeds driven. Apparently none of this came true for Lance, but you never know. These reasons, perhaps based in fantasy, were at least perceivable in my mind, but I think the real advantage, though perhaps I didn't consciously realize it at the time, was the freedom the car offered me. Freedom to escape from parental constraints. Freedom to be in a cocoon with my closest friends. Freedom to tell the world that I had power and that I mattered. Now, academically, I rated just above a turnip. In sports, I could barely tell the difference between a football and a baseball, but cars I knew, and the freedom they gave, I enjoyed. A cruise to Chambers Creek was always a bit exotic. Driving to Everett with my buddies to hang out with my cousin and her girlfriend always made me feel like a big shot. And, of course, best of all was the endless cruising of Tacoma's 6th Avenue between Frisco Freeze and King's Drive-In. In every city, doesn't matter where you grew up, there was always the cruise. Mm-hmm. There was some place that you went, and that's where people hung out with their cars. And in Tacoma, in the Northwest, that was where it was for Lance. It wasn't just a feeling that we and our cars were hot stuff somehow. It was the thrill of riding on magic carpets of steel and rubber, traveling down corridors with glittering lights as we headed towards new adventures. It was seeking out our favorite places and unknown destinations. This was the most exciting thing that had yet happened in our lives. In our minds, we were the adventurers, the pioneers, the astronauts, and the time spent getting to wherever we ended up was the most fun part of the adventure. Now, sure, what we traveled in mattered to us, whether it was Bob's fast 1940 Chevy or Doug's low-cruising 61 Olds. Even the cruises, though, through Point Defiance Park and Dave's dorky Renault, were great. It was the feeling of freedom that was the nectar, the thing for us. We were in a ballet of youth discovering the art of enjoying life. Our cars were our ballet slippers, and the streets were our stage. I was wondering how he was going to bring ballet slippers into
this.
It was a pretty long build-up for it.
Sounds like he was on something other than
cheap
a carpet.
Joke like that.
What you described that. Jeez.
I'm like, Lance, you're stretching awful hard. I see where it's coming, but man, that's, you know, it's funny to read stories like this. And, it's kind of all true. When you grew up as a car guy,
yes,
a lot of this stuff, you know, is familiar to those of us who are there. And I took amusement at his description of the dorky Renault. I don't talk about this much, but I actually owned and drove a Renault LeCar. You remember those things?
Yes.
They were dangerous vehicles, small, compact vehicles, and not very powerful, of course, because it was a Renault, but also because it was a four-cylinder with really asthmatic, you know, carburation. It was just a cheap, you know, little car, but that was kind of the thing, you know, in those years. And it was a 1980, and at the time I bought it, I had been seeing this wonderful girl whose hometown was Spokane, and she had moved over here to go to school, and we were, you know, quite happy with each other. And she was tall. She was as tall as I was, probably another inch or so, just in bare feet. And she took one look at this car and said, "Well, you didn't have me in mind when you bought this car." I think that was, as I recall, the beginning of the end of that relationship.
Yes.
But it's funny, the stuff that you think is a good idea, you know. But the other part of this story, and I know you can all identify with this, is the thing where he says the time spent getting to wherever we ended up was the most fun.
It is.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, we used to pool our money on Fridays, like, well, who's got a couple of bucks? We had $5, $6, $7, and you could fill up a tank at that time for that. And we would literally, our entertainment was just get in the car and drive.
Yes.
Yep.
To nowhere, by the longest route possible.
Yes.
That was the entertainment for the evening. We found ourselves at 2 o'clock in the morning someplace out in the middle of the weeds.
Yes.
And that was fun. We didn't have to go anyplace. Just drive. Yeah.
It was pre-video.
Well, yeah. Pre-cell phone.
Pre-cell phone.
Any of that.
Pre-anything. If you had to call your mom because you broke down, or dad, it was a payphone.
Oh, but you had a quarter in your wallet.
Oh, you always
case.
Did that. You always had change for that. But it's a different era, because my boys did not get raised up in that era. They been raised with the computers and Xboxes and all that. And
ice boxes. Xboxes.
Xboxes.
Sorry.
Yeah, they are like an icebox, but they kind of freeze their butt to the chair. But lately, my youngest, who's 17, he and his buddies have been getting together, and they've been doing a little bit of road tripping. They've been going up. They went to a concrete about a week ago. They went up for the day, and I don't know if you guys have been there. Well, you have, because concrete is well known in this area, but there's an old concrete plant, and a lot of it was disassembled,
oddly enough.
But it was actually built to build the Diablo Dam, which is part of Baker Lake up there and everything.
Yeah.
And it turns out that my father worked at the factory for about 6 months in 1954. He had come back from Michigan. He was had applied out here to come back because he grew up here. Went to Midland and worked for Dow Chemical for 3 years after getting out of college. He got a job to be part of the crew to close the plant down.
Oh, right. Okay.
And so he worked there for 6 months. They closed everything down, and then he had already applied for Mobile Refinery and got his job up there and eventually had me in 59. But, yeah, so I was telling my son about this, and he was telling his buddies, and they were very intrigued about the fact that his grandfather worked at this big factory.
Yeah.
And they said, do you have any pictures of that back in there? I said, well, I'll look around. Give me some time. But, you know, it's cool. Now they're out exploring, just like I did. Just go and find some empty, huge factory building and just hike around and have fun. And I'm like, finally, son, you're out there having fun.
It's nice that they're actually doing something instead of watching it on TV.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Hey, I want to read something that's on the back of this book. This is Fenders, Fins, and Friends, Confessions of a Car Guy. And, of course, like we say every week, we really appreciate Lance letting us, you know, read the stories out of there. He's got endorsements and things and testimonials on his books, and one of them is kind of cute to me. It says, Lance's writings remind us of the sizzle that we were, or maybe could have been, or wanted to be. His writings take us back to presumably simpler times of dreamy days, giving us kind of peepholes back to the older days. A great book from back in the day. The thing is written by Don Weberg, who is the editor and publisher of Garage Style magazine.
Oh, yeah.
And we've had Don on the show, and Don is a super guy. And Don actually hired Lance to be one of his original columnists.
Yep.
And you can find Lance columns in Garage Style magazine every month or every whatever often Don publishes the thing.
Man,
or,
I might
or have, I think
I should quarter. Apply for that job. Maybe they could give me a job. I like to write.
But then you'd have to build a garage like Lance's and start
collecting
videos.
Oh, that's right.
Videos.
It's focused on garages.
Good stuff. Anyway, yeah, so it's the Vintage Vehicle Show website is also where you can get Lance's books. You can get them on Amazon. And your bookshelf would not be complete without them.
And then Nathan Lipinski Weekly Trivia Question is next.
It is.
Next week's show.
Yes.
Put it in park and stick around.
We can do all of that.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go, Fish Stack.
Oh, come on. This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Hang on till right after these messages.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio. You're busy. Which is great, because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Looking for a job worth talking about? Teaching is creative, collaborative, and intellectually challenging. See why teachers have better work stories at teachdfw.org and learn more about becoming a teacher. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Did you hear the news? Cartoons Magazine is back. Yep, those car-crazy comics from the past have returned in an all-new Cartoons Magazine, featuring some of your favorite artists along with a whole slew of new ones, all working together to bring you an entire magazine filled with one laugh-out-loud auto-related story after another. Bi-monthly issues are available directly through the Cartoons Magazine website at cartoonsmag.com.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on!
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Help us if you can. You're an El Camino. El Camino man.
Really? That actually sounded like it hurt. This is Around the Wheel. This is where we usually talk about upcoming events and, of course, the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question. However, there haven't been very many upcoming events because the stupid virus is keeping us all indoors. However, Ron has a cool car show, an actual car show that is coming up. It is called, ladies and gentlemen, the Lewis County Quarter Milers Club is making a Gone to Chehalis car show, August 29th, 2020, Veterans Museum. It's exit 77 off of I-5 in Chehalis, Washington, which is about the middle of the state, north to south. It's about 95 miles south of Seattle, give or take a buck, maybe. About that.
Yep.
And so
it's a little south of Olympia, maybe 20 miles.
It's
south
I'm only saying Aberdeen, or not Aberdeen.
All I know is when Chehalis, I go to Portland, it's halfway there.
Well, yeah. Chehalis is 100 miles.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only reason I know that.
From Everett?
From
Linwood.
My place, Linwood. So, yeah. Because that's where the Firearms Academy of Seattle is.
Ah.
Don't ask me why I know that, but I do. Anyway, so this thing is coming up on August 29th. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is an actual car show.
Cool.
So good for
them.
We
need that.
Gone to Chehalis. And again, the Lewis County Quarter Milers are the guys that are putting that thing together. So
and I don't think there is an year car limit. I think it's open to all hot rods.
At this point, Customs. They would be crazy to put a limit. Like, yeah. just bring yeah. whatever you got.
Yep.
Roll yep. it in and we'll
yep.
do it.
Roll yeah. in, have fun.
Yep.
So, we did mention that we were going to talk about the Nathan Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question, and we do. Last week, ladies and gentlemen, we had a marvelous question, and actually it was kind of a fun fact that included the first toll roads in America
right.
were... opened in what year? And oddly enough, guess who had the correct answer?
Nathan
Lipinski came up, but there's also a fun fact. So the first U.S. toll roads opened in Pennsylvania and Connecticut, and that was in 1792.
Wow.
Remember now, toll roads, of course, existed before cars, because they did. And proof of that is that 1792, a mere 70 years later in 1860, Jean Lenoir invented the spark plug. So there wasn't even spark plugs when they had toll roads.
Mm-hmm.
But Nathan knew. And so, cool. Nathan gets his name on the
All
Nathan
right.
Lipinski Weekly Automotive Trivia Question for this week. We'll put his certificate up at the end. You, too, could get one, but only, ladies and gentlemen, if you know the answer to this week's question, which I'm trying to find even as we speak. Oh, yeah. So people who originally came up with car companies usually did something else before they came up with car companies because that's how it kind of worked.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't car companies, so they did this. And the one of my favorite car companies was founded by a guy who was a plumbing engineer and a manufacturer, but he came up with a really cool car company that is still in existence today. If you know what that is, you can send us an email at horsepowerchromeandrust.com, contact us at horsepowerchromeandrust.com, or you can, of course, get on the Facebook page and send us a message through that, or you can drive by Ron's house and throw a rock at his car, but don't do that.
No, don't do that.
It's a long drive to Ron's house. He doesn't think that's very funny, probably. Anyway, the plumbing engineer and manufacturer was responsible for what car company? That's our trivia question for this week.
Did he have a plumber's crack?
He did. And it's part of the car. It's part of the car. I'm going to answer
really?
That next week. You'll know part why that was. Hey, make sure you check out the Facebook page. It's with a full 8x10 color winner's certificate. Send us your answer, of course, for the trivia question. And just send us a hi and a howdy. And thanks for liking and following our show, too, because that's kind of cool. Our archives are at www.horsepowerchromeandrust.podomatic.com. And as we always say, we're on Spotify, iTunes, iHeart, and every other podcast app that there exists.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of fun talking with Dylan Kane about importing cars from Japan.
Definitely.
Now I want a right-hand drive car.
Mm-hmm.
For Ron Foreman and Steve Johann, I'm Brady Wright, saying keep your eyes on the road, your hands on the wheel, and your foot to the floor. Cruise on by next week. We will do it again, another Horsepower Chrome and Rust.